feel like I'm talking to your kid. All right.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Mobile today. We are taking the show on the road to the Bryce Jordan Center, where tonight, Penn State and Michigan State square off. Brandon Dawson and Adrian Payne are the two players involved in the fight today at the Nittany Line Inn. Wall damage was done. Dawson's a starter. Payne is, he's not a starter, but he is a starter. And you, in other words, they use him as that sixth man. So neither one will start the game tonight. How long Tommy keeps them out, it's up to him. And whatever he decides, he decides.
Yeah, how do you deal? Well, I was just going to say, how do you deal with a guy who's not a starter, and how do you handle a discipline thing like this? Because, you know, if one isn't a starter, you can't say, well, we're not going to start him tonight. Well, that's not really a punishment because they don't really start him anyway.
Yeah, wait till practice tomorrow.
That's where the real punishment comes.
Tom Izzo runs a hard practice to begin with, and there are a lot of stairs in that building. I tell you right now, they'd be running stairs for me. They'd be running and running and running.
That's where the real punishment comes. I got you.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, just because it's a game, I mean, you know. You know, it doesn't mean that, oh, well, that's all he did. No, believe me. There are other ways to discipline. Lots of ways to discipline that may actually get your point across as much, if not better, than what happened. I mean, these guys are roommates. They're off-campus roommates to begin with. Brandon Dawson, who's made a remarkable comeback from a torn ACL. He tore it back in March, you know. I mean, he's made a great comeback. Payne is just a really good 6'10 big man who is smooth. Really like him a lot. Become a better free throw shooter this year. And as a matchup, they're both matchup problems for Penn State. They're matchup nightmares. So the longer they're suspended tonight, the better for Penn State. So it's Adrian Payne and Brandon Dawson.
And on the statement that Izzo released did say that we'll deal with this appropriately, and the players willingly accept responsibility for paying any property damage, which I thought was a good part of the statement to put in the statement there too.
Right. Well, and there is property damage. There's a wall that's damaged at the Nittany Lion Inn. That's why you said, they say they're victims. No.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Victims
of each other.
Well, that might be. Maybe that's what they meant.
I mean, the other is probably saying the other guy started it. So that's probably what they're talking about. Chip Kelly is the Eagles coach. Our Hilsers General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. See the weather last night? Huh? Huh? You think you ought to go to Hilsers now? Huh? Been telling you over and over again. You name the supplies, they have them at Hilsers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. 800-795-9565. There are only two of the head coaching positions where a hire has been made where I think the populace is probably excited. I'd say San Diego won with Mike McCoy and Philadelphia with Chip Kelly, where it's a name or somebody that people relate to and they can say, wow, okay, look what we did. Now, in Philadelphia, that will last probably until the middle of the second quarter of the first exhibition game, but right now they're excited.
Well, if you like offense, you got to be excited because Chip Kelly does have a rather interesting offense to watch. I know you don't like it, but I like watching it.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, no, It doesn't give you any time to breathe. Okay, it doesn't give you any time to breathe. That's my point. As I'm watching the game, it's like, oh, geez, holy cow. I mean, now, it's interesting. You listen to the Ravens talk about the Patriots. The Patriots now are playing fast, and, of course, they consulted with Chip Kelly before the season began. And that's what the Patriots are doing. The Patriots are running a fast-paced game. They're at the line of scrimmage, and they quickly try to get it done. That's what they do.
Yeah, well, you know, the Patriots had said that that was just a gimmicky offense, too. I think that's the word that was used in a tweet earlier.
The Ravens. The Ravens said that about the Patriots.
Right, I'm sorry. The Ravens said that about the Patriots, right, which is another reason why Twitter should be banned in the NFL for comments that are just too dumb to be posted on the web. Why give somebody fodder for their bulletin board?
Look, I understand. Okay, what you're saying. But that also tells me that the Ravens are very concerned about facing the Patriots. That statement actually told me a lot. But why are you talking about it? If it's so gimmicky, why is it bothering you? Mm-hmm. Why is it bothering him? Here's the big problem that you have with the Patriots. The idea with the Patriots is as follows. You get to the fourth quarter, they want you worn down. That's what they want.
Well, the other thing with the Patriots is there's never enough points on the board. I mean, they'll continue to score points as long as there's time on the clock.
Oh, yeah. No, they have a killer instinct. No doubt about that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please. Dave and Sunbury?
Dave and Sunbury is on the line. Dave?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave. How's life in the Dave world today?
Well, last night I was feeling kind of sick, so I got up, turned the radio on the bathroom. Then I became nauseous even more.
Why is that?
Well, there's a guy on ESPN spilling, shall I say, well, I agree with you about 52 on Baltimore, and he was the sole reason.
Oh, about Ray Lewis.
Yeah, and he was the sole reason why Baltimore won that game. I thought, you got to be kidding me, buddy.
Well, look, what we're in, Dave, is a very simplistic business, okay?
Yeah.
It's a very simplistic business that we are in. And it's easy for people to say things like that because it is a simplistic business. Now, what we try to do on this show, we're not perfect at it, but we try, okay?
Yeah.
We try to bring in the Greg Cosells who look at tape, tell you what guys do and don't do. You know, and that's what we try to do on this show. We try to bring in the Tim Brandos who aren't like that. So there are a lot of things that we try to do here that kind of go away from the simplistic, boy, isn't he awesome and incredible, and we're following the Pied Piper down to the water. We don't do that here on the show.
Yeah, what, the Pied Piper with the mice? Everybody out, you know.
We don't do that.
No, I'm just saying. First of all, I was calling to say, you know, I agree with you about him. And then last night, I said, I was feeling well, not feeling well, so I got up, turned the radio on, and this guy from ESPN – overnight was saying about how great Ray Lewis is. You got to be kidding me. He hasn't been that great in the last 5 years, to be honest. But
yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's lost a step. He's had a lot of good people around him. Terrell Suggs has probably been a better player. Ed Reed's always been a better player. I think Ed Reed is one of the top 15 players in the entire National Football League over the last 15 years. I think he's that good. And not a lot of talk about Ed Reed. Not a lot of talk about Ed Reed, there should be.
Well, and also that guy, that the defensive back for Broncos, if he covers that pass, that guy ain't making that statement. I don't know what he was doing. Well, they said he went for an interception.
Kevin, tell him what he was doing on that play. Kevin, go ahead. You explain it. Well, tell him what he was doing on that play.
He forgot that he had nobody behind him to stop a touchdown, so he decided to go and intercept the ball, which is definitely the wrong move. Never, ever, ever.
That new Kevin knew.
Never, ever, ever step in front of a receiver when you do not have support behind you.
I knew Kevin would know.
Well, Steve, that's making me feel better.
If I know it, everybody should know it. All right, let's be honest. As I said the other day, I have a 10-year-old I coach that knows that, not to do that.
Yeah, well, your own son said, what's he doing that for?
Yeah, even he noticed that, and he's not even a defensive back.
What's he doing that for?
That's exactly right. So that was one of the big foul balls that we've seen in a long time out there. He stood up like a man, though, and took all the questions.
Well,
he didn't avoid anybody.
That's true.
So I give him credit for that, but it still was one of those plays where you sit back and say, what was that?
He just threw a win away.
Exactly right.
I'll let you go, Steve.
Exactly.
Talk to you later.
Right. Dave, it's always a pleasure. I hope we made you feel better today.
See, I thought he was going to say he turned on the radio and started listening to the basketball game last night. That's what I was worried about. I thought that's where he was going with it, so I appreciate that, Dave.
Didn't go well, huh?
No, I just thought that's what it hurt me and didn't feel any better. That's what I meant. No, well, it didn't go well unless you're an Ironman fan. The Ironman did play very, very well, especially in the second half last night. The Braves just did not have it. You know, some nights you just don't have it, and that was one of those nights for Shikellamy.
Well, you have those nights. I've done a few of those nights lately, Kevin.
Yes, I bet you have.
Our number, 1-800-795. Yes, I have. 1-800-795-9565. Hilscher's General Store is the one that powers our hotline. Mucks are in, babe. I mean, they're in.
And may I suggest, the warm clothing, too, for the next couple of days? Because the AccuWeather forecast is looking rather cold, that this snow may last for a little while. So you may need the warm socks and everything else. What?
It's an outrage.
Let's see. I'm looking at the forecast.
Outrage.
Listen, tomorrow's high is going to be 38. Now, Saturday, we're going to be a little bit warmer, and then we get into the deep freeze, into the 30s, and maybe at best into the 30s next week.
That's awful.
I'm just trying to get you plan. I don't want you sick. I'm making sure you plan ahead and stay warm.
I mean, my deal is this. Look, you know, I realize Penn State's all set in the Big Ten, but I mean, there are moments where you look at the ACC. There are a few moments where you look at the ACC and go, yeah, that's not a bad deal down there.
You know, South Carolina actually had a bowl game that looked pretty good. You know, they got an interesting setup down there. It's nice and warm.
Yeah, but you start thinking that way. You're like, it's not so bad.
I get that.
Yeah. Yeah, we think about it from time to time. That's all right. That's only when it's cold we think that way of a man, only when it's cold. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, Chip Kelly, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, that is a hire that excites the populace. How it works out, we'll see. We'll talk more about that in a moment. From the Bryce Jordan Center on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hello, 2013. That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Sales District. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490. Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Sorento with $3,500 off, plus 0% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at sunburymotors.com or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence of WKOK's On the Mark program. I return from some undeserved days off, and I will be hosting On the Mark tomorrow. Our guest, history professor David Imhoof. It's tomorrow, OTM, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WKOK.
I say let's get down.
Well, you're in the right spot.
You know who's going to be performing? You know who's going to be performing here at the Bryce Jordan Center next month?
Taylor Swift.
No, no, no.
Okay.
The Gaga.
Oh, love the
love
Gaga.
The Gaga. Yeah, love the Gaga. I did that one day, and you lost it for hours.
It was. It was probably the funniest thing I've ever heard you say. The scary part is that you knew it was Lady Gaga. That really frightened me right there.
I have grandchildren. I have kids. You know, I always laugh about stuff like that. I say, how do you know about stuff like that? Guy like you. I'm like, you know, when you have kids and grandchildren, you're in touch all the time. You know, one of the great things about being around kids and being around athletes that are in college, you're around young people all the time, right? Being around young people all the time keeps you young. It invigorates you. It invigorates you when you're around people that are young, in tune, in touch. It gives you perspective on what they think. I think sometimes that's one of the problems I think that younger reporters have as opposed to somebody that's an older reporter. Like, take, for example, the Dawson Payne fight today, all right, that took place at the Nittany Lion Inn. Okay, took place. Tom Izzo says, I'm going to handle it. And he will. He'll handle it, all right? But as a parent and as somebody who's around college-age people all the time, you understand what he's doing and what he's dealing with. You have perspective on that, look, it is not easy to discipline. Look, once you're coaching, in a lot of ways, you know, you're a surrogate parent. Okay, so there's some emotion involved on your part when it comes to all of this. There is emotion involved, and that's something, you know, where they say, well, you know, why they discipline this way? That's because they have kids. Okay, that's because they have kids, and when you have kids, you understand where they're coming from. Okay? And younger reporters don't have that perspective. You know, they'll come down, well, you know, this is what, you know, you have to handle it this way. Have you ever disciplined kids? Well, no, I'm not married. Oh. So you have a little different perspective. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's easy. Just take their iPod away.
They already do that on the road with these guys anyway.
Well, you know, that brings up a question that I wanted to ask. In high school, we see a lot of this, a lot of iPods out there during warm-ups in between at halftime of the junior varsity game. Is there any of that going on at the college level, or do they keep that under control a little bit more on what they're doing as warming up or in like the little the open shoot around type thing?
Well, Kevin, it's a little different, all right? Because if I'm coaching, it's okay with me if they do. With me is if that's the way that they can tune in and that's the way they can relax, then I say, go ahead, let them tune in, let them relax. You know, if that's their way to get emotionally ready for the game, psyched for the moment, then I say, go ahead, let them do it. If it's a way for them to settle down and relax, I say, let them do it. So to me, that actually is not an issue. It's the opposite. I think that you have to allow young people the opportunity to figure out their own way to let them, you know, if listening to music or something in their iPod is something that either emotionally gets them ready or else settles them, I say let them do it. So it's not just a high school thing. I think it's actually a smart thing to let them do that.
You know, one thing I don't see a whole lot of
for me.
Yeah. The one thing I don't see a whole lot of at the high school level is I don't see a whole lot of tweeting going on during that warm-up session or prior to it. A lot of texting,
okay.
But not much tweeting.
Tweeting. Tweeting I would never allow. I would never allow tweeting. Can't. I would not allow any tweeting during the course of the season, period. That's from the start of training camp to the final game. I would not allow tweeting at all. Okay? Zero. Zero. And there's a the reason I feel that way, and I feel very strongly about that, is that I think you've got to keep things in-house as a team. And I would discipline. I would discipline over the issue of Twitter and tweeting. To me, you have to have the view that your team is Las Vegas. And whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. All right? Now, the only reason the Michigan State thing got out today was because the police had to come over and investigate it. There was no Twitter dealing with, something internal like with USC. The police had to come over, thus a report had to be filed. That's why people know. Final half hour coming up. From the Bryce Jordan Center on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones, Kevin Herr. Today, the Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile at the Bryce Jordan Center, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team will take on Michigan State. Michigan State's Brandon Dawson and Adrian Payne, two of the top six players on this team, got into an altercation today at the Nittany Lion Inn. There was damage done to a wall there. Tom Izzo says the two of them will pay for the damage. Only Dawson was a starter, but Payne is the sixth man, so he's essentially a starter, okay? Tom Izzo says neither one will start in the game tonight, and when they get into the game, who knows? He said there will be also other discipline that he will handle, which means that can't be pretty. So that's the story heading into this one tonight. They are off-campus roommates, and they got into an altercation today. So we are at the Jordan Center. Michigan State ranked 18th in the nation. They're 14-3. And we'll see how they react tonight. Penn State back at home, played very hard Sunday, couldn't shoot a lick. Just could not shoot. Played good defense. They played defense well enough to win. They hustled well enough to win. They ran offensive sets to get open shots well enough to win. Could not hit a shot, thus did not win. Okay. Also tonight on Eagle 107, it is Colgate tonight in Hamilton hosting Bucknell. Thanks to Dave Paulson, who was on the show, as he is every Monday. And Dave's been great about that. We do not have to call Dave. Dave calls up, and he calls us right after practice, right before practice, whatever he can do. But he calls us every Monday. The one time he forgot, he was driving home and was really cool, though, that he was listening to the show. And he said, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be on that show.
But that was the
it's
best.
Really neat that when – okay, that he's listening to the show. Like Bill O'Brien was driving on Interstate 80. He's listening to the show. Okay? I mean, that, you know, we're going to have Joe Saunders, the play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Flyers, on tomorrow. Okay? Got in touch with us.
Yeah, that,
I mean,
that
it's
was
really great.
That, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. That's really great. When you have somebody that does, like Tim Saunders, that does play-by-play for the Philadelphia Flyers, go, hey, listen, would you like to talk a little Flyers hockey and then contact something? Like, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great part of it. You know now that the people that are in tune with sports or that love sports are now listening to the show, and then you know, and that Dave's like, he says, I'm driving home and I'm listening to the show. And I'm thinking, wait, I'm supposed to be on that show. And so he called up, and he was on the show.
You know, our Steve Jones Show Facebook – I'm sorry, Steve. Our Steve Jones Show Facebook page has a comment that I had to share with you because we have all been talking about this ever since Chip Kelly was announced as the Eagles head coach earlier today. Bob Buehner wants to know what the new Eagles uniforms will look like. I got a funny feeling that there's probably going to be not as much love fest, let's put it that way, between Chip and Nike right now.
Well, there'll be some, I mean, only because, I mean, every NFL team is a Nike team.
I'm not sure it's the same,
Chip
though.
Chip does stay within the family. Well, hey, yeah, let me put it to you this way. They are the Nike experiment that we see all the time. But then again, I do think there are probably more Eagles jerseys sold than Oregon jerseys.
One or two.
So they aren't that dissatisfied at Nike. Okay? They aren't. They're good. It's all good. And but Bob, you know, I can see the Eagles come out, new uniform every week, new helmets, because Chip's there. Hey, in fact, it's gonna be an awfully hard adjustment for Chip. You know that?
Why? Why?
Because he's gonna get bored looking at the same thing every week.
Yeah, looking at the same unis. Yeah. But you know,
I'm not used to this.
You know, though, the one helmet that they do have, you have to admit, the silver helmet. I mean, that you should not be able to use that in a day game.
Well, you know what, though? And can I talk about something from another point of view?
Okay. Sure, show, sure.
And that is, well, no, it's about the uniform thing, okay? Excuse me. It's about the uniform thing. And here's, on TV, they look good, correct? But in person, they're very difficult.
Oh, the numbers are horrible to read.
I mean, and I'm not just talking about being an announcer trying to announce this. That's not what I'm just talking about here. But even for the fans in the stands, they can't look at the jerseys. They don't know what the numbers are. I mean, that's difficult. And I think some of the stuff gets a little bit. Now, I've talked about the Northwestern alternate uniforms they wore last year, how difficult they were. And there was one Central Florida team that had gold jerseys, gold numerals. You're like, what are we doing here? Right? But I've never done a game with Oregon. I mean, the one time Penn State played Oregon was in the Rose Bowl. Well, they played twice. Played the Liberty Bowl once too, but in a Rose Bowl, and this was the old Oregon jerseys with the green and all. They were easy to see. They were easy. Danny O'Neill was their quarterback. Penn State won the game big. But Paul Keels, who's the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, who's been on this show. What's Paul been on this show? 5-6 times?
Oh, at least.
Past year?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least. All right. I mean, if I'm casting a play for the, you know, and I need somebody to play the role of the voice of God.
Yeah, he would definitely be the first choice.
Yeah, right. Paul did the Rose Bowl, Ohio State and Oregon a couple of years ago, and we were talking on the phone one day, just chit chat stuff, whatever. And he says, "Steve," he says, "I couldn't for the life of me." He's the biggest bogus hunk of garbage. He says you could possibly think of. He says because. He says, you can't read them. He said, well, having a uniform. Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, they take this stuff and they take it too far. And by taking it too far, in terms of color schemes and things like that, you know, they try to be too cute with it. That's a problem.
Well, I think the worst.
It is a problem.
The worst in recent memory, with Oregon aside, is probably the Michigan uniforms that they unveiled for the Outback Bowl. And it's not because they're Michigan or anything like that. It's just the fact that the yellow on white on a sunny day, you couldn't tell. I mean, the announcers couldn't tell. You couldn't tell in the camera.
I thought about that when I was looking at it the other day. I thought about that. When they were playing in the Outback Bowl, and I thought, you know, I could see them on TV with relative ease, especially with a close-up. It's easy. But
when they went went to the regular shot during the game coverage, yeah. You couldn't tell.
Couldn't see it.
No.
No, you can't see it. And that's one of the problems. And it's not just an announcer problem. So I'm not coming at it from just an announcer, even though professionally it is hard to do. Because when I'm in a situation like that, I do a lot of pregame study on body types. So I know who I'm looking at. And that's something, you know, I mean, that's what you have to do. Your job is to get it right. Well, in trying to get it right, okay, in trying to get it right, you know, you have to then look at a body type of a guy, because if Oregon is wearing a jersey like that, you can't read it. Northwestern, the game I did with Northwestern was like that. Tennessee has the orange with the white when they're on the road. That's what I had in the Outback Bowl. I study body types before the game of the receivers. How big is Swain? Okay. How big is Anderson? You know, Arian Foster. I said Arian Foster played in that game. Arian Foster had a big fumble that was run back for a touchdown by Penn State. And, you know, so when you do stuff like that, yeah, on TV it looks fine. But it's not fine in terms of the professional part of it. And I don't think it's good for the fans. The fans on TV love it. The ones in the stadium are going, who the heck is that? So,
Want to switch gears on another coaching change that just happened, or coach hiring, actually, that just happened. The Bears hired Mark Trestman, who has been in the NFL as an assistant and offensive coordinator for several years, but spent the last several with the CFL's Montreal Alouettes and won two Grey Cup titles. How does that transfer now to the NFL? How can he take the success he had in the CFL and transfer that into the NFL?
How do you think Bud Grant did? Think Bud Grant was a pretty good NFL coach?
I'm not going to comment.
Well, but look at his record. I mean, everybody's like, oh, he lost four Super Bowls. How good do you have to be to get there? How many games do you have to win to get there?
Okay. He had a little.
The Eagles haven't been to four Super Bowls. Been to two. Okay, so this guy was in the NFL for a long time. He was Steve Young's coach with the 49ers, you know. And now he at least had, it may have been a different system, but now he has head coaching chops. So you're looking at a guy who's been the offensive coordinator with Cleveland, the Raiders, Cardinals, and with the 49ers, all right? And he now has added to that being a head coach at Montreal, where he's won two Grey Cups. So he brings with him offensive coordinator feel, quarterback feel, and now CEO feel, because he's been the head coach of a team, regardless of what league it happens to be in. And there were 13 candidates. Darrell Bevell, who's the offensive coordinator for the Colts, was brought in. So was Bruce Arians. And they're already hiring people. And Aaron Cromer is going to be the new offensive coordinator there. Big hire. I mean, Trestman is an interesting hire. And, I mean, the guy's written a motivational book, Perseverance, Life Lessons on Leadership and Teamwork. I mean, this, you know, who was Bernie Kosar's quarterback coach at Miami? You can answer this. You can jump.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. I'll put it that way.
Oh boy. Okay. And then he was, by the way, Kosar's coach in the NFL with the Browns.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was in college too.
Right, and now the Raiders. Let's not discount the Raiders, because when Trestman was on the staff of the Raiders, working with the offense, they ended up in the Super Bowl. He was Rich Gannon's coach. And he was the offensive coordinator when they went with Bill Callahan and then, of course, lost to Tampa Bay. So this is not as big a jump as people would perceive it to be. I think it's a hell of a hire, to be honest with you. And he has been a consultant with the NFL in recent years. He's helped develop quarterbacks, including Jay Cutler at one point he worked with. And look, he's getting, you know, that's the guy he has to maximize, no doubt. The defense is aging over there. Urlacher and Briggs are both very, very old now. And the offense may have to carry them down the road.
By the way, I had to look it up because the reason I didn't answer is because I knew the answer. But 290, 175, and 8. That includes Grant's record as a CFL coach and NFL coach.
If I recall, he was with Winnipeg in the CFL.
That is correct. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yes. So they brought Joe Capp down with them from the CFL, and they won in the NFL. So there you go. If it's okay to hire a college coach to move up, it's okay to hire a CFL coach. Okay?
And he won four straight Grey Cups. No, I'm sorry, not four straight. He won four out of five straight Grey Cups.
Right. He did well. Look, the CFL has been a good breeding ground in a couple of ways, okay? Now, it doesn't always work. Remember with Hugh Campbell with Edmonton? I think he was with Houston. It didn't work, okay? And he won five straight Grey Cups. But you look at, for example, the guys over the years that have gone CFL that have had NFL pluses to them. Joe Theismann spent 3 years in Toronto. You know, people are the Miami Dolphins drafted Theismann. All right. He goes to the CFL, he plays in Toronto, comes back, and was ready to go with the Washington Redskins. Vince Ferragamo was with Montreal for a period of time. Dieter Brock. Warren Moon. Warren Moon helped quarterback those five Grey Cup championships for Hugh Campbell and Edmonton for all those years. So, Tressman, if this were just a pure CFL hire, I would think that there would be a lot of questions about, okay, well, this is a big jump, a big leap. This guy has been a success as a coordinator in the NFL. And he took the CFL head coaching job probably because he was getting frustrated and not getting NFL head coaching jobs. When you're a coordinator that long, you want to be a head coach. I mean, look at Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien aching to become a head coach. His entire path in life, once he got into the profession, was to become a head coach. And so he moved from job to job to job until he finally got a head coaching job. That's what these guys want to do, and I don't blame them. I mean, I don't want to be the sideline reporter. I want to be the play-by-play guy. All right? Okay? I don't want to be the sideline reporter. It's a great job to have and the whole thing, but I still want to be the play-by-play guy. I want to be in that position. Same thing with the guy that's coaching. He wants to be the head coach. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 for the Bryce Jordan Center in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Mike Krzyzewski rips Maryland. Criticized recent conference realignment. Said that the ACC's departing Maryland Terrapins will be outsiders when they move to the Big Ten. I'd hope so. They're not in. On a satellite radio show yesterday, Krzyzewski praised college sports rivalries that have long provided value to the ACC and other conferences, which he's right about, and bemoaned the end of the annual traditional games such as Duke-Maryland, Texas Tech, A&M, Syracuse-Georgetown, resulting from conference realignment. Said, for us, we have a good brand at Duke University. Well, we also have a good brand because we've been in the ACC. We benefit from that brand. And people have gone to school here, play sports here. They are not only Duke people, they are ACC people. And when you give that up, what price is that? What does that do? The fact that there'll never be a Duke-Maryland game again. There'll never be a Texas-Texas A&M game again. A Syracuse-Georgetown game again. Those schools aren't going to schedule one another. I mean, that's not going to happen. And in Maryland's case, that's the only conference they've known. And they're right in the middle of ACC country. They're right in the edge. And now their fans, well, they don't have a place. They're outsiders. They're really outsiders. At what price? What price is paid for that? Krzyzewski's comments will likely irk Maryland fans who believe the Terrapins have long been treated like outsiders anyway. And other ACC schools located along Tobacco Road, the ACC has not been above luring schools from other conferences. Syracuse and Pitt are set to join the ACC in 2013. Louisville and Notre Dame are finalizing future moves of the conference. And the bottom line is this. Maryland fans have felt like outsiders, okay, in the ACC. They've openly complained about it. But there's also a financial component of this. Your job as a president and an athletic director is to make sure that you are not operating at a deficit. Maryland dropped five sports because financially they're not making it. I don't want them dropping sports. I don't want them dropping female sports or male sports, because sports do great things regardless of what it happens to be, field hockey or football. Doesn't matter. And when you look at the contracts put forward, right now, each Big Ten school, and these are approximate numbers, but it's been reported that each Big Ten school right now gets $24.5 million a year from television and so forth from the conference. Okay? In 2019, the ACC schools under their current contract will finally get the $24 million, okay? Which is 6 years away. By that time, it is projected, and it's only a projection, that Big Ten schools will be getting $46 million. That allows you to keep sports. It allows you to have more independence from the school. Penn State's athletic department's already autonomous financially anyway. But that's what the money does. That's why Maryland looked around at the landscape and said, we're stagnating here. We're not, you know. What can we do to help ourselves? Suddenly the Big Ten calls. You're looking at the Big Ten saying, read those numbers back to me one more time.
Well, you may have mentioned it already, but Forbes has the list. Big Ten leads the list in revenue or in value of college sports with $310 million. ACC second or third.
Right. I mean, the whole point is to keep sports. More expensive than ever to do it. And look, for Maryland, busing to Rutgers and busing to Penn State, okay, saves money.